They say that helping a person make a decision for Christ is about 5% of the work. And follow-up is about 95%. So I hope you're ready for about 95% of the content of this weekend in the next hour. So pray for strength. The verse at the top of the handout that you received coming in has been encouraging to me. In fact, very motivating. Paul, sharing his own heart, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Initially, I thought, well, that is great, because God's making a promise here that every person that I begin to help, I'll be able to see them come to completeness in Jesus Christ. And the trouble is, it doesn't work quite like that. You might be frustrated or have been frustrated in the past, as I have, where you're just helping a person or you're helping a couple and they're growing and just kind of turn the corner. You know, they finally bought the TMS after 12 years, or just started their quiet time after you've, you know, taught them 40 different methods. But this happened to us. It didn't quite take that long, but a young couple became Christians from Puerto Rico. And once we got through the Spanish and tried to communicate, they did receive the Lord and began to grow. And through that year, kind of a slow process, but they started. And just about the time it looked like they're going to take off and things are going to become more solid in their lives, his postdoctoral work stopped and down they flew. And that became frustrating to me. Boy, Lord, I'd like to help people, you know, from convert, you know, from heathen all the way up to, you know, Billy Graham stage or whatever. I'd like to see that, you know, a couple times a week. And but a year ago, a NAV missionary who's been on the field for 16 years told me that in those 16 years, he can count maybe one or two people that the Lord has given him to come from a convert to grow to, say, a disciple maker, one who can reproduce his life. And he said, the reason is that God is sparing us from some of the problems of pride. You know, if I had a person, a couple people that raised them up, I could, you know, look what I did. You know, I could line up a few people here. And so I began to realize that I should help. My responsibility is to admonish every man and teach every man with all wisdom, do everything I can for as long as God gives me with people. And till they load the U-Haul, I'm going to help them. And that when God moves them, well, he may move them to your backyard. No, that's his privilege. And I don't have to worry about the completion, but God will bring them to completion in Christ. That's been very, very freeing to me. But before you can do much follow-up, you have to get started. So we're going to talk about initial follow-up this afternoon. And I believe it's an important topic because we'll be sharing the gospel and people will be coming to know the Lord. And you can't tell them to wait until the 29th when you get some input on follow-up. So they may starve spiritually between that time. Let's get a little input today together. This will be a chance for you to share, so I'm watching Tom Yakeley, and to see when he falls asleep, and when he does, I'll ask him a question. So, who can quote from the outline 1 Peter 2:2 for us? What we're looking for here is God's goal for every Christian. And these verses kind of give us an idea. So, who'd like to stand up and quote 1 Peter 2:2? Would you like to volunteer your neighbor? Okay. Okay, Dorothy. Okay. What goal comes out of that passage? Pardon? Okay. And what will that help us? What will that produce? Growth. Okay. Good. John 17:3. Okay, stand up, Bob, and quote it real loud so everyone can hear. You can be loud. Go ahead.
And this is eternal life, that they may know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Okay. What is the goal that comes out of that verse? Knowing God. Okay, a lifestyle of knowing God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is mean, right after a big lunch and you're kind of tired and I make you quote verses, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, close. But we should be able to get the goal. What would be the goal that God has for us from that passage? Christ-likeness? Become more like Christ. Okay? How about the last one? Matthew 28:18-20. Thank you. What is God's goal for us from that passage? Make disciples? Okay. Maybe to summarize, in two words, God's goal for every Christian is maturity and reproduction. And I hope you noticed that three of these passages that I chose had to do with our maturity in Jesus Christ. And the fourth one, our ministry. Let's keep that in mind, that God's goal, first of all, is our lives and our devotion to Him and our growth in Christ. And the ministry is an overflow. Okay, if this is the goal for every Christian, kind of sounds like could correspond to the physical goal. I mean, God made us to be born as children, babies, usually. And the need is to grow and to reproduce and replenish the earth, as God said. So, very similar. Follow-up. We must be involved in helping people mature and eventually reproduce. A general definition is on your outline that I gave you. It is the spiritual work of grounding a new believer in the faith. And I like to think of it in another way, or maybe in addition to this, it's helping a person grow in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ until they are able to continue growing on their own. So if you're helping someone or God gives you someone to help, you will know when they're followed up if you can leave town and they'll keep growing. You know, they're not depending on you. They're depending on the Lord. They're followed up. That ought to be our goal. And it's the same goal physically with children. They grow up, initially they're fairly dependent on mom and dad, but pretty soon, in a few years, they'll be on their own, and we have to prepare them for that. Okay. Some of you are parents, and others of you can imagine what it's like since you were children at one time. What are the needs of a new baby? What are some areas, and you can just speak them right out, that a new baby has some particular needs in? Security.
Love.
I didn't hear that one. Milk. Okay. Changing diapers. Okay, constant attention. Pardon? Okay, love. That was mentioned again. I'm glad you emphasized it. Protection. Warmth. Sleep. That's for mom and dad. Okay. I didn't hear that one. Protection. Okay, we have that one repeated again. So these are the four that I have chosen as being the most important needs. And some of the things like warmth could fit under love, security could fit under love. These four areas of food, protection, training, and love would probably sum it up. Now, when our little boy came home from the hospital at age 5 days, we couldn't just take him into the kitchen and say, "Now, David, here's the refrigerator. In the cabinet, you'll find little bottles, and you can, we'll make sure there's milk there. All you have to do is take care of the rest, and you can get your milk and grow." He's not able to do that. So there's a need, not just a need for these items, but a need for someone to provide them. So we had to be responsible as parents to make sure he got that bottle at the right time, not every 10 minutes, but when it was best for him. And I think the Bible talks about our need for spiritual nourishment, food. Matthew 4:4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So the Word of God is our spiritual food. It's the milk, as 1 Peter 2 mentioned. It can also be the T-bone steak later. The other area, another area is protection. And this was vividly demonstrated to us about a couple months ago. Our little girl, who came along a few years later, was a year old and just learning to crawl up the basement steps by herself. She had not walked yet, but she wanted to maneuver. So I was at the bottom watching. She was about 3 or 4 steps up. Deb was at the top watching, kind of protect her and make sure there would be no fall. So here she is, kind of crawling up, And I turned away and just kind of glanced back here, Deb, thinking that, well, Deb's watching and be no problem. She can just say, "Bob, Sarah's kind of leaning." And Deb turned away at the same time. And Sarah's crawling up, and she doesn't see Mom, so she kind of looks back and sees Dad, and she broke her wrist. So we learned a lesson there of the need for protection for these little tykes. Now, the Word of God can also be not only our food, but our protection. So, Scripture memory might be an illustration of providing some protection against the attacks of Satan. Say, the assurance of salvation. That's why we help someone memorize, initially, 1 John 5:11 and 12, or another verse on assurance. So that when Satan comes and tries to push them off the step, they'll have some protection of the Word of God in their heart. Training. Boy, teaching, solid teaching is important. Getting someone into a Bible study, into a church where they're going to hear the Word of God. Helping them not just be in a Bible study, but study the Bible for themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And it's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. So this is the comprehensive equipment. Should be our main follow-up tool, as it is our evangelism tool. And if we don't teach, if we don't give that kind of input, then we're just giving Satan an inroads. And you know, the only thing that grows naturally is weeds. And you learn that if you have a garden. You're kind of waiting for the corn to come up and all these weeds come up. So the only thing that grows naturally is weeds. And we have to do some cultivating and the right planting and make sure the watering is done so that the good fruit grows in the life of a person. And finally, the area of love. And I'd like you to turn to John 21 and look at three verses with me. I know that you don't need too much motivation at this point. So tuck some of these verses away and take a look at them this week. But I hope this encourages you. The Lord talking to Peter in John 21. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my lambs. Jesus, again speaking, said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Shepherd my sheep. And finally, to give emphasis, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. You know, I could just kind of see him, Lord, twice is enough. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, Tend my sheep. Love is a need for a young Christian. It's also should be our primary motivation. Our motivation cannot be to get them through a program. It has to be because we love them. Just a word of personal testimony. Some of you know Charlie Green. Charlie lives up in Chicago, and Charlie had some input in my life, quite effective input, when I was a student at Purdue. He's really the first man who I kind of was open to for someone to follow me up. What stands out to me about Charlie is not the plans that he taught me, and he's the one who taught me how to have a quiet time, or his great ideas, but his love and his concern and his prayers for me. He'd stop over at my room. You know, here's the big navigator, and I was just a little, you know, civil engineering student trying to study. And Charlie'd come over and pull up a chair and, how's your quiet time going? Well, you know, pretty good, you know. Well, how's it really going? Well, Charlie, if I can be honest with you, I'm really struggling. I don't really know how to have one. You know, I've been a Christian 8 years, and you know, the old pride, I kind of hate to ask people. But Charlie had a way of just drawing it out. You know, I knew he loved me. I knew he wasn't going to say, well, Bob, you should have known that 6 years ago. But he helped me. We went in evangelism together a time or two, and we'd get a Coke afterward, and he'd listen to me and allow me just to share my heart. And I knew he loved me. Another thing he did, he'd stop in the dorm at a phone booth and he'd call his wife and tell her, Pam, I'm going to be home a little bit later tonight. I'm tied up for another half hour. That didn't do much for me except show me that Charlie had a concern for people and a concern for his wife. And it really had an impact on my life. I've asked Rick Bartlett to come and share briefly what he's learned in the past couple weeks in the area of how to love a new convert. So, Rick. Thanks, Rick. Well, I think you need to stand up. So, we're going to sing number one. We'll start there if I notice Tom sleeping. So, let's get into a few practical ideas. And this is where I'd like you to help me out. We need to talk about, now that we've talked about some of the needs, but how do you begin to help people in the needs that we mentioned? Things like love and security. Well, they need to know that God loves them and that they're secure in this love. So the area of initial follow-up, assurance of salvation is what we need to talk about first. Now, when should you cover assurance of salvation with a new believer? I think you ought to do it immediately or even sooner. At least within about 48 hours. So, I encourage, in fact I've used it and I really enjoy it, is a little booklet Beginning with Christ. I won't take time to go through it, but you get with someone, your trainer or someone else, if you're not familiar with it, and have them show you how to use it. Now, it's not something you hand out. It's a tool. Okay? So remember that salvation is a free gift. This is a tool. Okay? So don't give it away. Well, I usually follow the rule of thumb that I need about 20 to 30 minutes to accurately use this tool with a person. So maybe you've shared the gospel with them and it's getting rather late and you don't feel like you can go after another half hour at that point. Well, share a verse of Scripture on assurance and maybe help them memorize 1 John 5:11 and 12. And then take the time, don't just give this to them, but the next time you get together, read it together. And read, you know, kind of take turns. And when you come to a verse, look it up in their Bible. So that they don't, you know, we want them to get into the Bible, not into the materials. So use this as a tool. And it's excellent in the area of assurance of salvation. Because the title, see, is Beginning with Christ. And it already emphasizes the privilege we have of living with Jesus Christ in us. What are some ways that you have discovered in helping a new believer gain assurance? Maybe a verse of Scripture, maybe another illustration or idea, and I'll try to record them. If you would just speak loud enough so we could hear, we'll learn from each other. So the Beginning with Christ booklet would be one you could use. What are some other tools or ideas? Yes, Dave. Excellent. How do you use that, Dave?
Well, one of my first is
Okay. Good. This is a little booklet. It's about 35 cents. And it's by Dr. Munger. And I think you'll find it an excellent tool. Other ideas? Yes. Very good. That's excellent. Now you don't, you may want to try another illustration, or at that point, you may want to go over the bridge again. Don. Good. There were some more people. Pete. Hey, Bob, you had your hand up. Very good. That even begins to give them a tool that they can use to communicate the gospel. Start early. Other ideas, Deb? Okay. Any particular verse? Any other key passages maybe we could record? Just fire them out. Okay. Keep coming. Okay, I got to get this now. Romans 11. Quote it real loud. There was someone down here too. John 1:12. One more. John 6:47. Quote that one for us. That ought to give you a little ammunition. Jim? Good. Okay. So you want to help him. Find a verse that really... Okay. I'm going to do it this way. Help him find his verse. And I think you know what I mean. It's good when you share these verses and read them together, ask him, now what does this mean to you? And try to draw out the meaning and talk about it and see if they have a question. And then you can find out which one really speaks the most to him or her. What are some other things we can do in initial follow-up in the area of this assurance of salvation? Dave? Okay. Very good. Play a tape of a testimony. Jill Briscoe's testimony is good. Yes. Okay. Boy, that's right. Spending time in the Word. For instance, maybe a quiet time together or in a special passage like Romans 8. 1 John, the whole book, is good. If you want to get a person started in a simple Bible study together, maybe meeting one-on-one. Read a few passages and talk about it. Any other ideas?
One time, like the day after this one person accepted Christ, I gave her a little 3x5 card. I made it like a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, "Dear Carol, but I write this to you, Carol, who believes in the name of the Son of God, that you, Carol, may know that you, Carol, have eternal life." And I said, "I forget how I signed it. I was trying to remember. I don't think I put Christ. I put God, I think."
Okay. Really help
and,
them.
You know, I made it like a postcard. I didn't mail it, of course. I gave it to them.
Kind of personalizing some of those passages, helping them meditate on it and see it for themselves. I didn't know how to write that, so I... Go ahead. Write up a birth certificate. That's interesting. A rebirth certificate. Or that may not be quite right, but... Let's have one more. Yeah. Sorry, honey. Good. Now these are a lot of ideas, and you'll have to pick one to start with and grow in your skill. Now the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. So it's good to have a plan. And sometimes in the area of follow-up, the plan, you know, it looks big. Looks like a big operation. And we're afraid sometimes to be specific and have a plan. But yet God will direct our steps. Let's have that plan and allow him to change it if he wants to. Another area that's important that I'd like us to talk about a little bit would be helping a new believer get into the Word. And some of the things we mentioned are good for this. I need to share with you that for me, memorizing Scripture has driven me into the Word of God more than anything else. Now, that might sound strange, but I love to memorize, and it drives me into the passage because I'd like to know the context and I'd like to kind of get the picture and meditate on those verses. Now, I didn't start out quite like that. I began because I saw the example of other men, other women memorizing Scripture. And I also heard challenging scriptures, like Deuteronomy 30:14, "But the Word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it." And I wanted to observe the Word, obey the Word. And, if I didn't know it, how could I obey it? So by putting it in, it really helped. Also, it ended up being a Bible study standard. Now, that's a poor reason to memorize Scripture, but it does help get a person started. So I started small, and as my desire grew, my commitment grew. In fact, it came to a point where I was memorizing a verse a day and loving it, having a great time. Went for about 3 months, and you can imagine how review starts to pick up on you a little bit. And a friend of mine was asking me about that area. And he said, "You know, what's your commitment?" And I said, "Well, I'm really excited about it. I'm doing a verse a day." And he said, "Do you feel that you can keep that up the rest of your life?" First, I guess he asked me, "Do you feel God wants you to memorize Scripture the rest of your life?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, can you keep up that pace? Realistically?" "Well, I think I can. You know, I had all this." He said, "Well, Bob, what if you get sick? You miss a day or two or three?" And I could see where I'd get discouraged. If that was my commitment, a verse a day, and I missed, I would be living in defeat. So he suggested I cut back that commitment to a realistic number. If I felt that's what God wanted me to do, that I could keep the rest of my life and make a lifetime commitment to memorizing Scripture. You know, there are a few verses in here, and it should keep us going. In fact, if you memorize a chapter a week, it takes 23 years or something like that. It's quite a challenge. So I cut back to 3, and he suggested 2. And that's been my commitment since that time. 2 verses a week that I will memorize from the Word of God just to give me that type of input. And the reason he suggested 2 instead of 3, again, he said, "Why don't you start small and increase it if you feel God wants you to." And that way, sometimes we get, you know, we live in defeat too often. Let's pick something a little bit more realistic as a goal and live in victory. Sounds like fun. So I did, and this past year I've increased that to 4 verses a week because I wanted to emphasize that area of my life. And come September I may change that objective and cut back to 2 again. But I don't intend to stop until Jesus comes. So that has really motivated me to get into the Word of God. What are some other things that you have done or that you would do to help a new believer get into the Word? Great. Sounds kind of funny, walk them through the hand. Okay, the hand illustration talks about ways that we can get input from the Bible in our lives. Other ideas? 7 Minutes with God is a little pamphlet that will really challenge you on quiet time, and it will actually give them a plan, a very simple plan. I've used it quite a bit. Okay. There's a man after my own heart. You know, I try to get, with one activity, meet two objectives. It makes life a little bit more simplified. So, thank you, Wayne. Yes. Okay, that's InterVarsity, and these are NAV materials. What about having a quiet time with someone? You know, and we talk about all these tools, just to sit down and have a quiet time together periodically. Let them see what you do. There was a hand back there, Greg. What would be some good key verses on the Word and the importance of the Word of God in our lives that you can think of? We should have section here with Scripture. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16. I like 17 also with it. Others. Okay, I'm hearing about 12, so Psalm. Okay. Psalm 1, the whole chapter, or especially verses 2 and 3. Another one. Joshua 1:8. Pardon? Okay. Jeremiah 15:16. Deuteronomy 32:47. First few verses of John 1. Good. Jeremiah 20:23-29. Hebrews 4:12. Pardon? 2:15. Good. We're not taking the time to quote these or look these up, so that's your assignment. Let's have a couple more. Okay. Two more. John 17:3. Two more. That was easy to write. Romans 12:1-2. And I heard of Matthew 4. For what? Okay. Matthew 4:1-11 is an excellent passage on the importance of the Word. Okay, how about a couple other ideas for getting people into the Word? Tapes. Okay. Specifically, some quiet time tapes. Russ Reed has one, and Russ Johnson. Oh, Jerry Bridges, excuse me. And there are many other tapes on that topic of the devotional life that are good. Great. See if I can summarize that for you. Getting them involved in fellowship with people who are growing and asking them, hey, why don't you share, you know, how you became a Christian, or have them share what happened a couple nights ago. And someone else will share how the Word had an impact on their life. And that'll do quite a bit. Yes. Good. Appointments with God, another excellent tool to use. Actually has appointments laid out. One more idea. Okay. The Bible reading highlights record is a sheet that is an excellent tool teaching people how to use that. Well, we could go on the rest of the afternoon, and we will not, but I'd like to give you just briefly to close, a couple problems that come up in initial follow-up and how to handle them. And I'm sure you have some input on this to help me. Okay, have you ever had the experience of someone who becomes a Christian and, boy, you just cannot get a time to meet with them? They live on the other side of Chicago or something that you can't get your schedules to work together. And anyway, this becomes a problem. Well, it could be that they are too busy. It could be you're too busy. I hope that that's not your excuse to taking care of a babe. But they may not see the need, and they may not have made this a high priority. So we need to be creative. That's probably the solution. Creatively find a time. Bill Searbaugh was telling me about a young couple at Indiana who he was working nights and his wife was going to law school, and they saw each other twice a week. They spent two meals together a week, period. And, of course, they passed once in a while. And that was kind of tough. They both accepted Christ. Kind of tough to get a follow-up appointment with them. And also help them in their marriage. Make sure they were getting time together. So they ended up setting up a Saturday afternoon time with them. And, of course, that's not the most convenient for Bill or for Rhonda. But they did it to help this young couple. So we need to be creative. Another thing I like to do is when I finally get a time with this person, is before I leave, I'll set up the next appointment. You know, find out a time so I don't have to hassle and try to get this thing figured out and call and just say, boy, you know, I'm available. When are you? And let's get together again. Set it up on the spot. Any other ideas? Have you run into this problem? What have you done to reach a solution? Oh, excuse me. I'm looking over here. Write letters. Okay. You write letters to your next door neighbor. Sure wish I'd see you. Yes. Good. I'm going to hit that hard in a second. Okay, he said prayer. And that's probably the main solution to all of these problems, is to pray that God would give us a solution, but to pray for that person. We can pray. We're not limited in our prayers for that young convert. One more hand here yet. Good. People usually eat. So, Deb? Good. Meet for a very short amount of time. And in other words, if they're so busy, you find a 5-minute slot or 10-minute slot and give them a nugget from the Word, and the next time they'll want 15 minutes. Jim? Good. Phone calls. Bruce? Look for common recreation. Very good. Something they're already scheduled in that you can go with them. Jogging, whatever it happens to be. What do they do that you can fit into and help? Unless you're completely out of breath with them, you're kind of hard to share then. But let's move on to some more. There might be a little overlap. How about the person who basically seems unresponsive? They say they have time, but boy, they always come up with an excuse. You schedule a time 12 times and they have 12 different excuses. Okay. Good. Okay. Yeah, that might be, you know, if you're pretty firm on the challenge, you could wipe a new Christian off the face of the earth, so you have to be cautious. You know, do it out of love. I know that's what you do. But that's good. Yes? I think the first thing I would probably do is find out if their commitment was sincere. That may be the problem. That they don't want to get together because they were just trying to get rid of you. And here they went and prayed. So hopefully we've learned some things this morning that will help us discern, you know, to pick just the ripe fruit. Yes. I didn't answer your question yet. Excuse me. How do you know, or how to do that challenge? Okay. Did you have maybe a comment on that, Jim? Good. He's saying that we need to tactfully find out what the problem is. Are they just not interested, or do they have some fears? Maybe something in their background or previous experience gives them a fear. Don? A little bit louder. Good. Helen. Very good. That's, you know, I learned that the hard way. Boy, it was such an exciting first meeting, you know, and well, let's get together every week from now until Jesus comes or something like that. And it tends to scare people. You know. So a short term commitment's good. I know there was Jim. What do you say when you tell them why you're going to meet with them? Okay, who's got an idea? What does a mom tell her little child? Okay. Good. Larry. Good. Good. You need to be tactful. I've told someone now, you're a spiritual babe, and sometimes that can, but to draw it out and to help them see that 1 John chapter 2, what is it, verses 14 through 16, gives three different stages of spiritual growth. The child, the young man, and the father. And they can identify where they are. You can help them do that. Another hand. Greg? Good. Good. Jim. Good. That's a good principle, too, on making appointments for evangelism to share. We've had times where somebody's supposed to come to our house and they never made it. So, but if you're going to their house, they're probably going to be there. And same thing is true for follow-up. Plus, you can control it. You don't have to stay forever. You can very graciously help them and let them know you care and then leave. Bob. Good. Bill. Okay. Candace. Terrific. That's great. They can't debate history and our testimony, not just our salvation testimony, but how God has worked in many areas of growth. Rick and then the gal. Okay. Be patient. Yes, and your idea. Good. Good, an initial follow-up testimony of how someone helped you. I want to give you one more, and then we're going to quit. How about the person who starts out just super strong and flames out? You know, we've had this happen. And you might not think this is a problem. And maybe problem's the wrong word. But I'm a little cautious now because of some experiences that I don't push too much too fast. I mean, you do not feed a baby with a fire hose. But with a bottle. So usually they have a good heart. Or they don't quite see the long range cost involved in being a Christian, and you want to help them run the endurance, the marathon, instead of the 100-yard dash. So Well, I'd like to conclude with one word and a slight expansion. The word is prayer. Because I have seen more things happen through prayer than through any method or through any effort of my own. Because it's usually the time I run out of ideas that I turn to God. And I'm growing in this area to be constantly in prayer. And you sure see Paul's heart. But don't wait till you run out of ideas to pray. Because God wants to do many, many things through prayer to show us that He's the one who does the work. Now this verse at the bottom of the outline, I hope you'll think about in the next 2 weeks. Not only for evangelistic purposes, but to realize our labor, be it in evangelism or follow-up, is not in vain, that Jesus will honor an available heart and our commitment to Him. So let's thank Him for this time. Lord, I want to thank You for the men who helped me, because I knew that You love me because they showed Your love. And if we do nothing else, Lord, if we're not very skillful or we don't feel we are, help us carry our heart for people and the heart You're building, not just in evangelism and in winning the lost, but in our heart for follow-up and helping people grow. Lord, we thank You that one plants and another waters, but You cause the growth. In Your name, amen.